The pastor, come on, brother.
Happy New Year's Eve, 2023. I hate to rush things along, but I'm glad to see it go. It's been a year. Goodness, but I tell you what, God is still good. He's still on his throne. Man, he's going to just walk with us through it. He'll take you to it, take you through it. I'm telling you that. Living in God's peace. We're taking a break from Matthew. Next week, we'll get back on Matthew, start a new year back in Matthew 24. But we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians today, chapter 3, verse 16. One verse. That's odd for me now, one verse. But there's so much in that one little verse that I want to bring out and understanding peace with God. Because, listen, one of the greatest longings for the human soul is peace. It's treasured. As we live this life, we want peace. And there's some areas that we're going to look at that we specifically need peace. And God's Word gives us some comfort in that. First of all, we need peace with God as a sinner. But man, we need peace with ourselves. Because we're imperfect and we know we serve a perfect God. We need peace with other people because we're wired a little different. Amen. We need peace in our circumstances because life happens. How do we approach 2024? How do we understand living this peace that God gives us? 2 Thessalonians, just one verse. And we'll look at other supplemental passages to go along with it. Peace, the most treasured longing of the human soul. So a little background on this text, because context is key. If you know me for a while now, I like keeping things in the context that they were written. Paul wrote this letter, this second letter, to the Thessalonians because he had gotten word that they had been told that the day of the Lord had already happened. In other words, that Jesus had already came. And the Thessalonians were going through some troubles and some trials for the cause of Christ. So he had just finished writing his first letter to them. Then he gets his report to them that many are being misled that the day of the Lord had already happened, and they were going through trials and tribulations. So he writes this letter in about 49 to 51 A.D., up in that time period. And they're dealing with this, and Paul is helping to comfort them, and he's trying to correct the wrong that they have been taught, that the day of the Lord has not occurred yet. And that what they were going through was going to be worth it. Stay the course, no matter what happens in your life, stay the course of faith. And he gives them this one verse here that just kind of stands out to me. All of them do. All of God's Word does. But verse 16, it says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all." Let us pray. Father God, as Paul even sees what's going on in this church and hears word about the circumstances and the difficulties and trials and tribulations and troubles they're going through. And Lord, even hearing this incorrect doctrine, this incorrect heresy that had been brought up to the church, God, he addresses all of that here in this letter. And God, as we read this and we see this verse that just stands out to us as believers, because, God, we're living in a time that is troubled. God, we're looking at our own life. We're looking at things around us. We, Lord, we know that there's so much difficulty. God, we need the Lord of peace to fill us, abide with us through the changing currents of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is peace? The Greek, Hebrew word for peace is shalom. I covered that last week. I had the Prince of Peace as one of the titles or characteristics of Christ. But the Hebrew word in the Old Testament is shalom, meaning peace be given to you or peace be to you. And it's a whole and complete peace. Everything in your life is where it needs to be. What is peace? The New Testament, written in Greek, uses this word for peace. It's irene. Irene. That means one, and peace and quietness and rest and peace of mind and invocation of peace, peace, a common Jewish farewell in the sense of the welfare, well-being of an individual. So one person would greet another with shalom or irene, and it was for one believer to another believer, it's the peace of God be upon you. So the vision that Scripture gives us of peace includes this absence of conflict. But the absence of conflict alone is not peace. We've all visited a cemetery before. I like to visit cemeteries. I read the headstones, and it gives just a little glimpse, just a snippet of that person, or at least what their family thought about them. How many times have you read this word, rest in peace? Or if they didn't have much money, it's just inscribed on a piece of wood, says RIP, meaning rest in peace. But that's not the biblical understanding and picture of peace. The biblical picture of peace is more like a garden than a graveyard. Peace is a place where there is life and there's flourishing, there's growth, there's fruitfulness in every conceivable way. That's the biblical idea of peace, is that as you live, There's this fruitfulness in your life. There's this oneness that you have walking with the Lord. So the biblical idea of peace is not merely that of a peaceful circumstance. In fact, Scripture talks about peace that is present and even transcends your circumstances, as Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh my, how many times have we read that? So Jesus told his disciples in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. God's word over and over and over gives us reassurance of the peace of God for us as believers. So the idea we have in Scripture is that we have troubles, we will have trials, we have disappointments, and we will have losses in our lives. Yet we can still have peace that transcends our circumstances. Why is Jesus called in this verse the Lord of peace? Verse 16 there in 2 Thessalonians. Well, when Paul says the Lord of peace, he's thinking of Jesus and the abiding peace that he brings. Man, I'm a believer, but I love Jesus, and the Holy Spirit abides in me. But I'm going to be honest, there are some times I'm not at peace. I'm at peace with God, but man, there's some times I'm just stirred up. But I have the Lord of peace living in me. See, Christ is the Lord of peace because he brings us peace with God and because he brings us the peace of God. So let's look at these two things a little closely, these two aspects of peace that Christ brings. I want to ask the following four questions for us to contemplate this morning. As we look from 2023, look to 2024, first of all, do you have peace with God? Second of all, do you have peace with yourself? Third, do you have peace with other people? And the fourth one would be, do you have peace in your life as you journey through struggling and troubling and trials and tragedies, those troubled times? The first thing we look at, the first question is, do you have peace with God? That's the most important question of all, is do you have peace with God? See, only Jesus brings peace with God. Christ is the Lord of peace because he reconciles us as sinners, enemies of God, back to him. Jesus atoned for our sins on the cross. He brings forgiveness for all who will repent and believe. That's all the New Testament demands of us. Repent and believe to be saved. We are baptized in obedience to Christ. We obey Christ as a result of believing. Jesus, man, he brings forgiveness for us, for all who repent and believe. He brings harmony between our souls and God the Father. Remember over in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, from the English Standard Version, it tells us that before we believed upon Christ, in our lost, sinful condition, we're enemies of God. So we're not all children of God. We're all creations of God, yes, but we're not all children of God. We're enemies of God. Only Christ brings peace. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Oh, the only way that we are reconciled with God is through Christ. He brings us peace. And Christian, do not forget that. Do not lose sight of that. You were not a good person, and then you just come to know Jesus. No, you were an enemy of God, and you turn in repentance from your sin to Christ in faith, and now he made you family. Only in Christ. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, that Christ restores us to God. Verse 13 and 14 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near to the blood by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. How beautiful that is to remind us that who Christ is in our life. Christ tore down the barrier. Muhammad didn't. Buddha didn't. Any New Age movement, listen, angels didn't do that. No one else. Jesus is the only one who tore down the barrier between us and God. Only one. Now in Christ we're children, fellow heirs with Christ, and Christ to his eternal kingdom. We're no longer enemies of God as a believer. Rather, we have access to God. Access to God once again. We get peace with God through the blood of Jesus that we celebrated in the Lord's Supper. Peace with God. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 tells us if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart a person believes, meaning the very core of your being, the very core of your soul, and with your mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. And so when it talks about heart here, it's not talking about your emotions. It's talking about the very core of your being. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, verse 13 says, will be saved. Why? Because of what Jesus has done, not because of what we can do. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer enemies, but allies, friends, children of the Heavenly Father. Now, I want you to know this. Even though you're here this morning as a sinner, you don't know Jesus Christ, you're lost. Still in your sin, you may be trying to be a good person, but you're lost. You don't know him. The good news is Jesus died for you. He's already paid the price, and all you have to do is respond in faith to him, that you believe upon him. Not just some head knowledge, but from the very core of your being, that you believe. Repentance of your sin means that you change your mind about them, that you no longer find pleasure in those things that you want to follow. You don't want to be ruled by that. You want to be ruled by God. Because Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. Death on the cross, resurrection from the dead. Listen, you yourself can have peace with God. That's why he is the Lord of peace. And you're welcome into his family. Peace and harmony between you and God are restored. I don't know how you lay your head down at night. Listen, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, I'm not talking about being Baptist or Church of Christ or Catholic or Pentecostal. I'm not talking about denomination. You can have your name on every church around here on its roll and still die and go to hell because you don't know Jesus. You just know religion. Do you know Jesus? Do you have this personal relationship with him? That Jesus died on a cross to bring you in peace with the Father. But not only do we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God as we live in this life. Do you have peace with God with yourself? Do you have peace with God with others? Do you have peace within yourself during life's troubled times? What about this peace with yourself? Man, this is hard. Christ gives us peace with God that is characterized by a relationship of harmony and love and grace and fellowship. And when we believe upon Christ, he fills us with his Holy Spirit, who gives us the peace of God, and which abides in our soul as we journey life's challenging and troubling experiences of disappointments and losses. I don't know about you, but you've probably had some losses in 2023. There's probably been some disappointments in this past year. Here's the good news. It probably happened again in 2024. Why? Because you're living in a fallen world. You're an imperfect individual living here. Yes, the peace of God is abiding in you, but you still have to live life. And the only way that you're going to do it with the peace of God winning out in your life is to keep your eyes focused on him. What about this question? What is this peace with yourself, Brother Kevin? Man, we are imperfect. In life, there are times that we have messed up. There are times that we've sinned. Just be honest. Don't give ourselves a break. Don't whitewash it. Don't say bad decisions. No, you sin. I've sinned. We did something sinful. We knew it was wrong. As a believer, the Holy Spirit's telling us, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And we did it anyway. And there's consequences when we blow it. But as a believer, the Holy Spirit said, I told you not to do that. And he brings conviction to us. Listen, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is quite different than the guilt and the shame that Satan pushes on you. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is always for you to go to God in repentance of that. Because what a sin in a believer's life just becomes an interference, like this tablet. Here's you, here's God. Of course, God's much bigger than you. But that, just for a tangible look, that sin becomes an interference between your relationship. It's a disruption between your relationship with God. You really don't want to pray. You really don't want to read your Bible. You know, you're harboring this, and the Holy Spirit says, as soon as you repent of it, things are going to start working out better for you. But you got to get that out because it's hindering your relationship with God. And that's your Lord of peace. Man, you repent of that sin. You admit you're part of that. The Holy Spirit's conviction has worked in you, and you repent of it. Maybe you've said something or done something that you wish you wouldn't have, and you knew better. Here you are. Man, you repent. Repent in the deer stand. Repent to your wife. You repent. You repent to the Lord and you get things straightened out. But you are still carrying that guilt and shame personally. God has forgiven you. You brought it to Him. You've changed your mind about it. You don't want to do it no more. Man, you're still carrying this big old burden of guilt and shame. And you can hide it. You can dress yourself up and come to church and hide it, but you still carry it. And then certain things trigger it. Certain things trigger that guilt and that shame a little heavier. You know. You know what triggers it. And man, you're just like, oh, how could I have done that? And every day that goes by, hour after hour, day after day, night after night, you're living with this heaviness that you knew you shouldn't have done it, but you've done it anyway. How could you disappoint God so bad? Listen. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You come to Him in repentance. That's cleared away. It's you dealing with it. And the more you relive it, the more you rehash it over and over and over and over and over again, you just keep burying yourself in another layer of shame. And the devil's over there poking on you. Call yourself a Christian? Everybody knows. Better hope that never gets out. But it's just over and over. Am I the only one? Y'all just perfect then. If you wouldn't, you'd be amening. Or oh mine. You'd be like, oh my, he talking about me. No. I'm an imperfect human being walking through this life, made mistakes, sinned, and bore the same thing. See, John chapter 8, verse 36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free in Christ. So let's get it straight. When we repent to God, we are free in Christ. We don't have to keep going back over and over and over and over and over and over to God. Oh, God, please forgive me. Oh, God, please forgive me. Oh, God, please forgive me. He ain't listening after the first time. You already brought it to him. He forgave you. Now you have to forgive yourself. See, that's where the challenge comes in. See, in the Greek, the word free can mean liberate or to exempt from liability. So if Christ set us free, and we're free indeed, there's two parts to that definition. In this verse, the full context gives us these two conclusions. First, Christ has freed you from something. And secondly, he has freed you to something. Both of these are critical as believers to living the full and abundant life that Christ wants us to live. So Christ freed us from the bondage of sin by his death on the cross and our repentance and faith in him. You were in bondage to sin, and now you are set free. Yet when you believe upon Jesus as Savior, you get a new master. Sin was your master. Now the Lord is your master. You've been set free from the prison of sin. Paul sums it up this way. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are free. But man, I carried his guilt, Brother Kevin. Well, how do you deal with guilt and shame even after you've repented of the sin? Because we feel so badly that we feel like we need to keep on repenting. Because we're not sure if God really hurt us the first time. And we're not really sure if he really forgave us, so we keep on bringing it. Sometimes years later. And we've all done this. Because we're saved. Understand this. We are saved, but we're still imperfect human beings on this side of heaven. So we relive those bad moments, questioning why we did that. However, when we do that over and over again, man, we're just creating this more guilt and more shame. And this can echo in our minds and cripple our walk with the Lord, and we don't experience this freedom that Christ Jesus brings. We struggle to live with vitality, and our peace is squashed. One of the things as a pastor you notice is that many of your people who walk in your church doors do not have the peace that God has promised them, that abiding peace. Yes, they're at peace with God, but man, they're not at peace with themselves. They're not. They may not be at peace with other people, but they're not at peace with themselves. One of the biggest weapons Satan has against us as believers is the rearview mirror. That rearview mirror effect to keep us looking backwards to all the shameful moments in our past. And when this happens, we feel overwhelmed by guilt and shame and condemnation. Because we knew better. Man, if that's you this morning, the great news is when you repent, listen, when you turn away and you change your mind about that sin, God forgave you the first time. He removed that guilt and that shame that was attached to that sin. Matter of fact, Psalm chapter 103, verse 12 says he remembers our sin no more as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't remember. He never brings it up again. Jesus has already paid for it. Isaiah 43, verse 25. He doesn't remember it. We find comfort in God's word that even as believers, when we mess things up, we blow it, and we knew we should have done better, and we brought it to God, we repent of it, we change our mind about it, we no longer want to do that anymore. We go to God. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. Jesus gives us the freedom, grace, and peace to live. Live with vitality. We're forgiven in Christ. He increases our capacity to love, to experience joy, and to live in this peace, to enjoy this one life we have. To enjoy our life beyond our sins and failures, even as believers. If there's anything Satan wants to do to you, Christian, is beat you down. I need to hurry. The second thing we look at today is peace with other people. Peace with other people. So even as Christians, sometimes we go through life, man, we're all wired a little differently. Sometimes, you know, your personality, my personality may clash. I like to joke around a little bit. You may not be that kind of person, so if I'm showing a little sarcasm like Jesus did, I'll remind you. If you get all ruffled, I don't know. We're just wired different. Sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. We're at odds with other people. Sometimes they act selfishly toward us and hurt us, and sometimes we do the same thing. Man, we want peace with other people. Peace with our husband or wife, and peace with our family, peace with our friends, peace with the people at church and people that we go to school with, all this. We're all wired a little different. Our relationships need peace, and it's not easy to do that because there's so many variables and dynamics interacting in a relationship, in communication. John chapter 13, verse 35 reminds us where we need to be. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. I love you. I just don't like you. Man, there are some times some people are difficult to love. And sometimes the difficult one to love is the one looking at us in the mirror. And you know what our problem is a lot of times? We put expectations on people that are not fair. We put unwritten expectations on others that they put them on us, and they have this expectation of how we should act or react or interact or whatever, and we don't do it, and they get their feelings hurt about it. They get mad about it. What gives you the right to put expectations on anybody? Who made you Lord over them? So we find ourselves without peace and fragmented peace with others. Man, our human broken nature wants us to insert ourselves and control other people or situations and get a result that we desire because we want to be happy. So we start twisting and turning and trying to do this and trying to do that. Let me tell you something. You have no control over anybody. Now, your little ones might, but I'll tell you what, they're going to prove real quick. They're like herding cats. The only person that you have any control over is you, and you don't have a whole lot of control over that because you can't tell your heart to beat either. So our job is not to control other people so we'll be at peace. No. trying to control other people's situations only leaves us exhausted, empty, and disappointed, and our peace is disrupted with them. How do we find peace personally and with others? Scripture gives us this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 33, verse 32, English Standard Version says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Wait a minute, forgiving one another? As God in Christ forgave you, restoring peace with another person, that peace that you need to abide in. Man, we have to own our part of the problem that disrupted that relationship. Seek forgiveness from that person if you've done something that's harmful to them, and if it's possible that it doesn't cause more problems, seek forgiveness from them. If you're waiting to experience peace and forgiveness to someone, you're waiting on an apology from them, you don't hold your breath, you're going to die. You're wasting your time. Forgiving someone else so that peace can be restored to yourself, forgiving them for whatever they've done in your life, whatever they hurt you, listen, that's freeing you up from the person's control over your life. As long as you do not forgive someone, they're writing your life story for you. Every page that goes by, every day that is written out, it's tainted by that person, and they're dictating to you what your story will be. As long as you do not forgive them, because forgiveness is not for them, forgiveness is for you. And so that you can live in peace and write the story that God has designed for you to write for you. Don't let anybody else control the pencil that writes your story's life, your life story. And when you fail to forgive somebody, well, Brother Kevin, you just don't know what they did to me. No, I don't know what they did for you, but I know what Jesus did for you. And God in his mercy gave you forgiveness, grace, and peace. You see, you take that same peace that God has given. You can't muster this up on your own. You take that same peace that God has given to you. You apply it to yourself when you have failed. And now you're at peace with yourself, and you are a conduit of God's grace and peace and forgiveness to other people. You forgive them regardless. But I want to see them pay the price. Do you want to pay the price for all the things you've done? What if God held the same judgment on you that you want to hold on other people? You see, that's the only way we forgive is when we have peace with God, so that we're a conduit to grace to them, forgive them, so they're no longer writing your life story. You are. That's between you and God. One of the most amazing gifts that you can give to yourself in the power of the Holy Spirit is to release someone from that hole they have in your life through forgiveness. And forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling, because you're not going to feel like it. If you're waiting to feel like forgiving somebody, you will never do it. Your emotions will get stirred up every time. But until you rest in God, lean not on your own understanding, but lean on Christ. When you begin to lean on him, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't know how to do this. My emotions won't let me do this. But Lord, I want to, because you have forgiven me. I want to forgive others. Lord, show me. And I choose today to follow your will and your word. I forgive them. You'll be amazed when you release that person from the things that they have done against you, or against your family, how free it becomes. Do you have peace with yourself? Do you have peace with others? And the last one, do you have peace in your heart during troubled times? This last thing, and I know I'm over a little bit, I'm hurrying. Verse 16 says, Jesus is the Lord of peace in every circumstance. Catch this, life is unfair. Life is unfair. We will experience troubles and trials and losses and disappointments that we do not even see coming down the road. We don't understand why this is happening. We've been serving God for all these years. We've been faithful. And man, this happened. Why? Because you're living in a fallen world. And life is unfair. And these tragedies can leave you devastated and confused and wondering how you even move forward from this. Man, I look across this congregation, I know some of your stories. I know where you've been. I know some of the things that you've experienced in life. And listen, it's hard. I know that there's sometimes it's involved unhealthy choices of your own. It's like, how do I even recover from that season of life? And you see, our problem is we focus on the problems. We don't focus on the Savior, the one who's a problem solver. We don't focus on the person of Christ. We focus on the problems. And that's what the world teaches us. You know, try to fix your problem, fix your problem, fix your problem. Let me tell you what, I know the problem fixer. His name is Jesus. He will guide you. Lean not on your own understandings, what Proverbs says. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 3 through 6 is trust in the Lord in all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Listen, life will happen. And as a believer, you will face troubles like the rest of the world. Yet you have the guide, Jesus Christ, to lead you through the storm all the way. He led you to it. He leads you through it. He'll meet you on the other side. Do not trust your own wisdom, your own emotions. Do not trust what you can produce. Trust what God has already done. He is sovereign over all of it. Lean on him, and he will guide you through that situation that happened to you or that you created. You're going to experience pain, maybe. You're going to experience loss and disappointments. Yeah, you may. Yet 1 Peter tells us this. Listen to the beauty of even when we go through life's trials. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, in all this, you greatly rejoice. You can only rejoice when you have the peace of God living in you. Though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Listen, trust God through your troubles, your losses, your disappointments, your tragedies. He will lead you. He will comfort you. He will grow you and transform you and give you the future that he has in store for you. You do not walk this journey alone. You will face circumstances and tragedies that seem to be way beyond you. That's great. Listen, it is a false narrative when people say, oh, God won't give you more than what you can handle. He's talking about temptation. He's not talking about life's troubles and tragedies. Because, yes, God will give you a lot more than you can handle. Why does he do that? So you lean not on your own understanding. That you lean on him. If he only gave you what you can handle, well, you don't need him. Man, God will give you peace in the middle of your storms. He is sovereign. He's totally in control when your life seems to be out of control. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with yourself? Do you have peace with others? Do you have peace in your troubles? Christ Jesus is the Lord of peace. Verse 16 tells us the last part of that. The Lord be with you all. That's what the last part of that verse says. The Lord be with you all in 2024. Because life will happen. You are imperfect and you're going to make a lot of mistakes and you're going to sin. You're going to stumble around sometimes. You're going to be at odds with people from time to time during the year. It's just life. Listen, when you have peace with God, He begins to work out these other things in your life. Do you know Jesus as Savior? That makes all the difference. May the Lord be with you all. Let's pray. Father God, today, as you lead us through this new year, God, we don't know how many days we have. Maybe there's someone in the sound of my voice right now that today is the only day they have. May they know you as Savior. We don't know if it's 1 month, 2 months, 10 months, or this time next year we'll be celebrating another new year together. We don't know. But God, I pray that they have peace with you in Christ Jesus, that they know Jesus as Savior. And God, that if they're struggling right now, that they turn over that page of that new chapter of 2024. And God, that they forgive themselves. They forgive other people. And God, that they truly trust you through all the challenges that you have in store for them for this next year. God, we love you. Today we say together, we trust you. You're a good God. You're sovereign over us. And you have our best interest in mind. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.